Did you know Jeffrey Epstein was trying to hack civilization?
And Jeffrey Edward Epstein?
Have you ever been convicted of a crime?
Yes.
They will contain the names of people associated with Jeffrey Epstein.
Prince Andrew and the former president Bill Clinton have been named.
In a system cyber biosecurity type of way. I spent weeks combing through hundreds, honestly thousands of documents in the files, looking for the technical layer, which would be the assumptions about humans, signals, and power that they gatekept from us normies. And what I found shocked me. Epstein acted as a hacker. In this video, you're going to learn the exact pipeline his notes point to, how he frames humans as ciphertext you can decode, how that logic scales through platforms into culture war, and how it ends in the surveillance state endgame, with digital twins that predict what you'll do, fear, buy, and tolerate. Welcome back, nerds. I'm Addie. I spent 15 years in cybersecurity, and I break down cyber threats before they blindside you. Without further ado, let's get into it. Epstein as a hacker. As I've been combing through the files, I made a connection that I don't think many others did. Epstein wrote like a hacker scoping a target, because his language is weirdly operational. He literally writes, "Find me the top hacker codebreaker NSA type." That one sentence is your entry point. It's procurement. He's asking for a very specific mental skill set, someone trained to break the systems that look random from the outside. A codebreaker lives in one question: where's the hidden order? And Epstein keeps answering that question the same way across documents, by talking about life like it's encrypted and we are simply computers. In the same document, he writes, "Biology is the process of dynamic codes. Encryption, decryption, predator, prey. If a system appears random, but in fact has order, that order can be used for work, but only if a decryption takes place." This reads like someone describing an exploit chain. Step one, identify a system that looks random. Step two, assume that there's a hidden order underneath. Step three, crack the cipher. And then step four, extract work, leverage, and exploit outcomes. That's a hacker's posture. Then you see the breadth of what he wanted to decode. In his own mind map, he's clustering psychology, moral games, sex, displaying social prosthetics, feminism anxiety, and in the same web of notes, you get technology now available, encryption, de-encryption, NSA code breaking, and genetics, code biofabrication. Look at that grouping. It's one blended systems map, like human drives, like sex and psychology, social control surfaces, like moral game, display, and trust or reputation. Elsewhere in the same note set, cultural friction points, like feminism anxiety, technical primitives, like encryption, decryption, and code breaking, then biological. Logical primitives like genetics, code, or fabrication. That's why the list of names isn't the whole story. This looks like somebody chasing the method, the way you build leverage on people and populations. So if he's treating humans like decryptable systems, what's the objective at scale of a whole society, and why does it matter politically? Threat modeling the objective. Here's the part that makes the rest of this make sense. Epstein was an intelligence-style operator. I can't prove the exact agency from public receipts, but the pattern points in one very specific direction. Epstein was an operative working an agenda to contribute to the fracturing of the US. He was a foreign intelligence asset whose primary objective was simple: to weaken US social cohesion so the country could not coordinate or resist a strategic downfall. The persistent rumors about his ties to are notable, especially considering that in his own words, Epstein emailed Barack, the former Israeli prime minister, asking him to publicly imply and clarify that Epstein was not part of Mossad. Now here's the move that makes this all feel grounded. Just treat it like a threat model instead of a morality play. The asset is social cohesion, like trust, stable reality consensus, and the ability for people to coordinate. A society that can't coordinate stays permanently stuck in lateral fights amongst each other. Across centuries, four separate thinkers studying separate empires converged on the same trigger mechanisms. Empires fracture when the internal division accomplishes what external enemies cannot. Cohesion decays, legitimacy erodes, conflict goes horizontal, and the system becomes easy to steer because no unified resistance forms. This is going into speculation territory, but I have a hunch about the timing. A lot of this system's thinking shows up after Occupy Wall Street became a cultural event. Occupy demonstrated something dangerous to any control system. People can coordinate attention across class lines, name institutional capture out loud, and synchronize around a shared target. If you're trying to shape outcomes at a civilization scale, that is a problem. So here's the template. The asset is social cohesion, trust, and stable reality consensus. The adversary's goal is to predict and steer populations while preventing unified resistance. The attack surface is identity conflict, gender conflict, attention systems, and platform incentives. And their tactics is that horizontal conflict is much easier than addressing accountability for the deletes. Now, watch how Epstein's own notes fit that template. He's literally cataloging human levers in the same cluster as encryption and code breaking. The phrase feminism anxiety matters because it shows up exactly where a systems person would log an exploitation point: near sex, psychology, moral game, and social display. The stuff that governs bonding, trust, mating markets, and status. And here's the reason gender relations matter in a threat model. They sit on top of core social glue. If trust between men and women destabilizes, everything downstream wobbles. From relationship stability to family formation, social trust, willingness to cooperate across groups, and even agreement on basic norms. So when Epstein writes feminism anxiety in his systems map, I see it as a lever for cultural chaos. Because in a threat model, you just need everyone to stop trusting each other enough to coordinate. That's how internal division does what external enemies can't. And if the objective is to fracture cohesion, the next question becomes, does he want to influence people with messaging, or does he want to reverse engineer the human entirely? The human layer, DNA plus body signals as ciphertext. Now, this is the part that really shocked me when I piece it together. It's the part that makes the hacker frame undeniable. He literally tells you he thinks humans are ciphertext and that cracking the cipher gives you control. Epstein writes verbatim, "The de-encryption of that signal is my focus. The method that makes sense from that signal is my prey." That is an operator describing his objective. He's saying that your body outputs a chemical electrical pattern. Your nervous system turns that pattern into perception, emotion, meaning, and decision making. And he wants to control that method that does that translation. That method is prey because once you can reverse it, you don't have to guess why people do what they do. You can model it. Then you can exploit it. He then takes it to the people who built modern cryptography and compute. In another thread, he writes that biological, cellular, neuronal signals are all highly encrypted, and that these chemical signals could be teased apart using the same kind of advanced signal analysis used for code breaking. And then he says current brain mapping is merely reading a complex ciphertext. In that email chain, he's reaching out to Whitfield Diffie, the inventor of public key cryptography, plus other high-level builders in security and computation. So, when you ask, was he trying to hack society or hack biology? The answer is both. Because he's treating biology like a computer, he's saying that the human body is a signal-emitting machine, those signals are encrypted, the brain is a decoder, and if you can build a better decoder than the body's own defenses, you can predict outputs, and the prediction is your bridge to influence. So that's your human operating system model straight from his language. Signals go to encryption, go to decryption, go to predictions, which go to influence. Then he tightens the loop even more. Language itself becomes part of the cipher. He writes, "I'm beginning to think that language is the encryption of the signal," and immediately ties it to predator logic. Predators can read defense signals. That's him thinking like an attacker. Humans develop protective wrappers such as social cues, language, norms, and plausible deniability. Predators learn how to read the wrapper anyway. Then the wrapper stops working. And SIGINT also shows up in his note. Signal intelligence, internal algorithms and encryption, olfaction, like smells. Then another note goes full signal processing brain. FFT, coherent images, equivalence for sound, signal processing, noise, encryption. Even if someone watching has never heard of FFT, they know what he's trying to do. Turn a human sensation into data, turn that data into patterns, and patterns into a decoder. Then the DNA line lands like a confession of adversarial thinking. Fun. The key is DNA had incorporated defenses in the code deceit, etc. He's framing life as hostile code, with defenses, deception, and even countermeasures, which means he's also implying the opposite. If biology has defenses, then an attacker can develop exploits. So the exploit layer is coherent and explicit in his own words. Humans output signals, those signals are encrypted, he wants a decryption method, If he gets it, he can predict. If he can predict, he can influence at the level of the individual body and the collective population. Now here's the scale problem that forces the story into the next chapter. If he believes decryption equals control, how do you apply that to millions of people without doing it manually? What environment do you build so society decrypts itself for you? Scale, platforms, and culture wars. To scale this whole plan, you build an environment that trains the population for you. This is where culture war becomes an exploit mechanism instead of a political argument. Because culture war is about incentives and feedback loops, platforms reward certain outputs like rage, humiliation, tribal identity, certainty, us versus them framing, performative moral games, and status dominance. Those outputs get amplified, then people adapt. Then the environment becomes a factory, and the product of the factory is predictable. It starts with polarization, social mistrust, and endless lateral conflict. That's the threat model tactic. Horizontal conflict beats vertical accountability for the deletes. So how does that play out? Well, we can see Epstein gets introduced to Christopher Poole, aka Moot, which is 4chan's founder, through Boris Nikolic. He said in an email, "There's a cool guy, in parentheses kid, that you should meet." And Epstein replies, "Lots of fun things to do." Now here's the thread I want you to actually hold in your head. 4chan became one of the highest throughput raw human output machines on the internet. And Poll, which is short for politically incorrect, became a cradle for the modern culture war. It's where movements incubate, narratives get stress tested, and people learn to perform outrage as identity. It's also where the leak happens. People drop their most unfiltered impulses, and the rest of the internet reacts, amplifies, counter-reacts, and spirals. The loop creates behavior. And yes, Poll has been tied over and over to the kind of radicalization pipeline that ends in real-world violence. Anonymous boards produce a constant stream of memes, enemies, permission structures, and attention triggers, the ingredients for stochastic violence. Epstein's introduction to Moot happens in October 2011, and Poll launches the very next day. Poole himself has denied that Epstein had anything to do with creating it, but who actually believes that? If your threat model goal is horizontal conflict beating vertical accountability, then anonymous political platforms look like deployment infrastructure because they generate exactly what an operator wants, like raw emotion at scale, identity formation under pressure, mimetic warfare and status dynamics, and measurable constant signal output. And that's the point. It's measurable data. Now we have to talk about the other half of the platform story. There's a long-running theory that Ghislaine Maxwell operated influential Reddit accounts or held serious moderation power. The specific username people point to is u/MaxwellHill, a historically massive news posting account that moderated major default subs, including r/politics and r/worldnews. And the reason this won't die is the timing. That account went quiet on June 30th, 2020, and Maxwell is arrested 2 days later on July 2nd, 2020. But here's why it matters to the story, even as a theory. Moderation is an environment control surface. If you can shape what gets seen, what gets rewarded, and what gets normalized, you can steer the room and let the room steer the people. And Epstein's own world keeps echoing the same posture. Mindshift conference topics include encryption and decryption, emerging technologies, new financial systems, and his note about security requires reads like ops plannings, not really cocktail party curiosity. So the scale story stays coherent. The exploit is to decrypt humans, the scale is to build environments that shape behaviors and beliefs, the output is this culture war as a self-sustaining loop that blocks coordination among the peasants. And once you can harvest this data and shape environments, what do you build next? Endgame, prediction, and digital twins. Prediction is the permanent version of influence. Once you can decode the human layer and shape the environment, you can model populations. You build a digital twin of each person in each society. It's a living simulation that predicts what you'll do, what you'll fear, what you'll buy, what you'll tolerate, and how to change your mind. That's preemption. The future gets more predictable, which makes it more steerable. And this fits Epstein's own obsession perfectly. He wants the mechanism that generates behavior. And he writes, "The de-encryption of that signal is my focus and my prey. Decrypt signals to predict behavior, to steer outcomes. That's the pipeline." This also reframes blackmail as a mechanism of control. If you're positioned to weaken a world power, the real win is being ready to control what comes out of it, like the systems people will still rely on when everything collapses. Now zoom out. This is exactly what the surveillance state is built for, and it overlaps with selling you. Epstein's orbit keeps brushing the same power centers, like major tech and finance figures tied to data, infrastructure, and social shaping, including Bill Gates and Peter Thiel. Then there's the Maxwell problem. There's been long-running allegations that Epstein operated with intelligence-adjacent protection, and long-running allegations that Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's father, has ties to Israeli intelligence. People also connect him to his backdoor stories like the Promise scandal, where he allegedly backdoored softwares that he provided to governments, giving access and control surfaces and an information advantage. Now apply it to yourself. Your digital twin would be an always updating profile stitched from all your activity, including searches, clicks, pauses, messages, location, relationships, mood, and spending. AI assistants are even becoming surveillance surfaces too. Microsoft's own description of Windows Recall is basically taking frequent snapshots of your screen to make your life searchable, which I consider spyware as a service. The same systems that sell you things are training the models that steer and exploit you. So the persist story is coherent. The exploit is to decrypt humans. They scale via platforms that harvest you and keep conflict horizontal. They persist through digital twins and feedback loops that predict before you act. So the end state is a world that models, nudges, and monetizing you using the same prediction engine, all while providing limitless power to the most grotesque deletes at the top. If you like this video, you need to learn the other ways these deletes are exploiting your data with automated deportation pipelines. I'll see you in that video next.